99.72% invoices were processed, and where there was incorrect documentation provided by suppliers, the financial unit was able to engage with both the project managers and the suppliers to ensure that invoices are submitted within the 30 days required by Treasury regulations. Next slide, please. We also look at issues of reports of misconduct cases and issues of discipline resolved. And again, we had a quarterly report. We provide a quarterly report on these incidences, and we're on track for providing that. Next slide, please. Those reports are available and approved. We had also issues of training in quarter two, quarter three. Obviously, in quarter one, there was not much that we could have done in respect of the pandemic. And so we had 15, we targeted 10 for the year, and we had 15 courses that were attended by officials through the National School of Government, as well as other service providers online. We exceeded our target in quarter three because we were able to access online offerings over the time of lockdown and also release. Next slide, please. We also had the submission of statutory compliance documents, the annual performance plan, which was revised and retabled towards the end of the year, and also submitted to National Treasury. Next slide, please. We had quarterly reports in the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. So again, we are on track for that. Next slide, please. We have the detail of recruitment and selection. We had advertising of the senior management posts and appointing of the Director, Education, Labor Relations and Conditions of Service. We had also the total number of employees who attended skills development training. We report both on the number of training programs as well as the participants in these training programs. Next slide, please. So these slides really show the detail of what is in the reports, what is in what is being dealt with in terms of disciplinary and other procedures, what is being dealt with in terms of just the preparations around the public-private partnership agreement, safety and sanitation of the building, and asset management. So that's the detail that would go into some of the reports that we provide. In terms of financial services, we also have had an extensive reprioritization of budgets based on the needs of the department, but also based on the anticipated and actual budget cuts. We had the preparation of interim financial statements and expenditure reports, as we normally do, submitted for compliance purposes. We had also procurement around logistical services, and the detail is on slide 19. Next slide, please. And certain legal cases and legal court cases which were in progress in relation to they are indicated in slide 20. So we also had work around the Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill and regulations pertaining to special school hostels. Next slide, please. In addition to the strategic planning and reporting obligations, which are on slide 21. For both the department, national department, and public entities, SACE, South African Council for Educators, and UMALUSI, Quality Assurance. Next slide, please. We had research support of key large programs in the department and in the sector to start to look at the funding review for the early childhood development, for early grade reading. We had a lot of work around quantifying the learning losses in the education sector as a result of the pandemic, and also indicating then what the implications are for the learning losses, remediation of those learning losses in the future, but also for reading. We also have interprovincial conversations and discussions on key planning, monitoring, and evaluation priorities. Next slide, please. I've spoken about the ICT infrastructure. This program also deals with ICT infrastructure in the department, upgrading, but also extending contracts to ensure that online access to officials was available during the different phases of lockdown. Next slide, please. During this period, we had a huge number of meetings in addition to the interactions that the ministry and the DG's office and the DG were having with their international counterparts, their regional counterparts, as well as within the sector. And this slide really shows you the kinds of meetings that we have at interprovincial and within government, within intra-government meetings, which were scheduled, which were held over time. In addition to this, we had one-on-one meetings with provinces to determine school readiness, and those ran into the 10 multiples of these meetings. So a lot of interaction within the sector and within the broader education community, as you can see on slide 25. Next slide, please. And then a huge amount of advocacy and mobilization of society, campaigns around undocumented learners, psychosocial support workshop, which was held in collaboration with the NECT, as well as provincial engagements and monitoring of issues related to SAFE, issues related to COVID-19 school compliance and standard operating procedures, amongst others, and preparation for the implementation of the Basic Education Employment Initiative. In addition, with the work that was done in preparing school governing bodies at this very difficult and very very difficult time and very unstable time for the sector and for the department, a lot of work around monitoring and support and preparation and just providing a level of comfort, if you like, for some school level functions to start again. Next slide, please. And then I've spoken about this, so this is just the detail around monitoring the visits and the interaction, parliamentary and business process, but also in addition, internal and external stakeholder liaison. So a lot of work around just interaction, leadership, coordinating and mobilizing the sector in program one. Program two looks at curriculum, and the majority of program two indicators Education Policy Act function of the National Department, which is policy leadership, technical policy leadership, setting standards, and oversight and monitoring. So a lot of the work here looks at the monitoring of curriculum assessment, policy statements, and developing reports on what is happening in the broader sector, not just at the DPE, but in the National Department as well as 9 provincial departments. We've decided to use that approach with the level of detail that is in the medium-term strategic framework so that we are able to pronounce on an annual basis what is happening in the sector. We've been doing that over time for issues of infrastructure, funds alushaka, teacher supply, placement, and we're now getting to do that with a lot of the curriculum indicators. So you'll see a lot of greens because those quarterly indicators and the annual reports are being compiled for presentation in quarter four. So the curriculum assessment policy statements, we did work on second chance access, and we exceeded our, next slide please, we exceeded our target for the year already in quarter three in terms of the number of learners obtaining subject passes towards an MSc or extended senior certificate, basically the second chance. We had more than 122,000 learners through different media platforms and through material provisioning reached. We had more than 53,000 learners prepared for exams at 133 face-to-face centers over after hours, over weekends, really to ensure that these learners were supported. So we didn't have any deviation. It's an indicator that we see twice a year. And in the quarter under review, we're able to quantify progress made and to make up for the progress that we didn't quite make in quarter two due to the COVID, the impact of COVID and the deferring of the exams. Next slide, please. We had work done on a provision of preparations and support of learners with profound intellectual disabilities. And next slide, please, in quarter three, we'll be reporting on that in the annual report at the end of the year. We had work around the screening policy on screening, identification, assessment, and support as a mechanism for early identification and intervention. We present the milestones and the work that was done on teacher training, preparation of schools, officials, grade R practitioners, amongst others, on slide 33, and we will be presenting an approved national report in quarter four. Next slide, please. Similarly, we have a work that has been done on preparing for the detail of the ECD migration implementation fully, which will come into place in April 2022. We had work on just a diagnostic report on function. It was concluded in quarter two, and following that, we had legislative readiness assessments concluded and proclamations finalized and processed on those dates right up to the end of the end of the first week in December 2020. Next slide, please. So we'll be reporting on this, the status of play of the ECD migration progress at the end of the year, quarter four. We also had work done on developing the funding models for ECD delivery, and in the quarter under review, the draft budget program structure for provinces has been developed, because as the migration comes through to basic education, we need the budget structure within the basic education budget arrangement, financial tables. Next slide, please. We also had work that was done on preparing the way for an EMIS system, an education management information system, ECD, in the quarter under review. So data cleaning and analysis and the preparation for a census of ECD centers to feed into what will become an ECD management information system, a database in the department, and the sector. Slide 36, next slide, please. We also finalized the report on consultations with sector stakeholders on the HR aspect and human resource development aspects of the ECD provision in the sector. Next slide, please. So all of these will be developed, there will be annual reports developed indicating progress, but also indicating the state of play in each of the provinces. In relation to monitoring the implementation of MCS for grades 10 to 12, we had districts monitored on implementation. The target for 2020-21 was 8 annually, and we have already we've got good progress in terms of implementation of the monitoring, and in quarter four we'll be reporting on achieving that target. Next slide, please. We also had provinces monitored and extra support classes, and I mentioned some of the extra support oversight in the achievement highlights section. We had a target which we'll be reporting on at the end of quarter four, but you can see the extensive work that was done in quarter two and quarter three in relation to center monitoring, learner attendance support, and centers which were visited and functional. Next slide, please. We had monitoring, number of schools monitored for implementing compulsory entrepreneurship education. We had 90, we had 65 in quarter three, which were monitored, and we are looking forward to reporting positively on the achievement of that target. Next slide, please. And then the next few slides look at the implementation of the General Education Certificate. Again, an annual target. We will be developing a report, a comprehensive report on the various aspects of implementation, both in terms of quality assurance of the certificate and preparations for that, the development of test items, the mobilization and communication around that, as well as the technical aspects of nominations for examiners, who will do the work, etc. And we'll be reporting on that in the fourth quarter. And it's very positive. We already have information on what happened in the fourth quarter, and therefore we'll be looking forward to presenting that to the honourable members. The technical occupational stream, will also quarter three, we developed a circular and released it to provide guidance on implementation of the curriculum in schools of skill and piloting of the curriculum, a vocational oriented curriculum in ordinary schools. There are public comments which were infused into the CAPS document for fundamental subjects to be offered at the School of Skills. So a lot of work around diversifying the options and the opportunities available for our learners in the technical and occupational stream through the three streams model. Next slide, please. We then had monitoring of implementation of various policies and norms on reading, and you can see on quarter three how many we monitored. We had a target of zero. We were aiming to monitor the 10 schools in quarter four, and we succeeded in doing that. I will say that now, knowing the information that we have and the evidence that we have on our side. We also went ahead and monitored the implementation of the incremental, next slide please. Yes, incremental introduction to African languages. Again, we had 10 schools that we'd identified. We developed monitoring instruments, and we, in quarter four, were able to go out and monitor this. This is over and above what provinces are doing, which is over and above what provinces are monitoring. We also go ahead and do our own monitoring of these important curriculum policies. Next slide, please. The early grade reading assessment looks at how to assess how well young people are doing across the country, especially the early grades. And the tool, the EGRA tool, was developed and has been implemented in the sector. And the monitoring oversight is planned for quarter four, and we will be developing a report on that annual target by the end of quarter four. Thank you. Next slide, please. So the implementation of the National Reading Plan, I think there's one slide missing. So we have over an annual sector report. We did a lot of work around multi-grade, the implementation of the National Reading Plan in relation particularly to teacher development, teacher guidelines, materials, development, adjusted subject plan for teachers to guide, as well as lessons and materials to promote reading on different platforms with different partners. And different targeting different age groups. So you can see on slide 47 the extensive work we did. This is on the back of just dealing with the realities of the pandemic and the flux within the sector. We're able to get a lot of support around to teachers and to learners on how to read and how to promote reading, especially in the early grades. Next slide, please. We then also, in support of providing readers, the readers in a home language, we had an instrument that was sent to provinces to monitor the provision of and availability of readers, and that we will be reporting on annually in the annual sector report on schools monitored and the availability of readers in different home languages. We'll be providing a comprehensive annual sector report on that. Next slide, please. So, and then we had schools which were monitored on the utilization and provision of ICT resources. And we had three schools monitored in the Western Cape on top of the nine schools monitored in three different provinces shown there, KZN, Gauteng, and Mpumalanga, and we're on track for achieving this target, 27 over and above what the provinces do. Next slide, please. We also had as usual, we reported on workbooks and the progress of workbooks, provision, printing, and distribution in quarter three. And you can see the delivery of volume one is in progress. 86% of schools had received their home assignment, and volume two distributed later in the year. Next slide, please. We'll be reporting on that. And then similarly for workbooks for grade 1 to 9 in maths. Next slide, please. And for grade R, workbooks for learners in grade R at 86%. 86.83% of the schools which should have received the consignment had done so by the end of quarter 3. So we'll be reporting much more on in quarter 4. Next slide, please. Then we look at EFAL, provision of EFAL textbooks to grade 3, 6, and 9, and we have consolidated the provision schedules for EFAL and MAS textbooks, coordinated that to consolidation, and the report will be provided in the fourth quarter. So a lot of work around just standardizing the tools for monitoring, but also the reporting formats, so that when we come to an annual sector report on these issues, we're able to, we pulled it together in quarter four, and we have those documents in our possession. Next slide, please. Lesson plans for literacy grades 1 to 3, they were delivered by the DBE with the NECT for STEDI in that quarter, and on top of the other ones that have been delivered, and the implementation and monitoring of the implementation of the lesson plans will take place in quarter four, again, in support of language development in the early grades. Next slide, please. Then access, we're talking about access to special schools with electronic devices. We can see that we had Vodacom providing 102 schools as part of the USAO project, and the school breakdown is as follows: over five provinces, those 102 schools are shown on slide 55. Next slide, please. We also had teachers trained on inclusion. The curriculum on inclusive education programs was finalized in the quarter three, and monitoring and evaluation report was finalized and launched on the 11th of December. So that report is available after the work that was done on training and teacher development in quarter two. So we will again be providing that annual sector report in the last quarter of the year, in addition to the annual sector report on public special schools and quantifying the number of learners with disability in both special schools and public ordinary schools in the next indicator on slide 57. We have also got, special schools are extremely important, and we are wanting to really develop a better sense of size and shape of the special schooling. And we will be developing in quarter four, we've developed already actually in quarter four, an annual sector report on public special schools serving as resource centers, where they are, what they do, and that data will be presented in that annual sector report. So in quarter three, we had 139 special schools designated as resource centers, and we'll be reporting on what is happening in those schools in the annual sector report. Next slide, please. Then focus schools, the work on focus schools continues. It was highlighted in several policy documents and policy pronouncements within the sector. We have six work streams which we established, and provincial input was sought on their work, and guidelines for the establishment of focus schools is at 90% of completion. So we'll again be providing further details around in quarter four on progress with within the annual sector report. Next slide, please. So these are all annual targets. And then the next few slides just looks at the detail of what was presented in this particular program. A large amount in this particular program related to curriculum implementation, related to assessment. Next slide, please. Related to inclusive education. Next slide. And particularly the STEM, math, science, and technology, as well as ICT activity around in this particular program. I'll just ask to go to program three. Program three looks at teachers, and in this particular, say slide 72, in this particular quarter, we had a survey of SGP functionality that has begun, and the DBE was verifying the survey. And basically what we do is we take a sample of schools, 1,000 schools, and look at the whether the SGP is functioning, especially this year because of the SGB elections which were held earlier. We were wanting to see what's going on in terms of SGB functionality, whether they're effective and report back to the system so that we know how to improve their functionality, how to address any weaknesses, but also how to highlight where SGBs are actually doing well, and what kinds of practices what should be replicated within the system. So the survey had begun in quarter three and was being verified, the data was being verified. So we'll be reporting again on that annual indicator, we'll be reporting in quarter four. Next slide, please. Similarly, we looked at in quarter three, the schools producing a minimum set of management documents. We are really strengthening school management and school governance is extremely important to the department, and therefore, again, we do a sample survey of schools to see what exactly is happening, whether people are using these documents, what they're using them for, and whether they actually have the documents, especially in this time where electronic and other types of communication have become more frequently used. So we did a lot of work around verification of the information in the survey, and we'll be reporting on that later on in quarter four and in the annual report. Next slide, please. Funza Lushaka bursaries awarded to enroll students for initial teacher education. We had a target of 12,500, and by quarter two already, quarter three already, we had exceeded our targets because the tuition fees this year were not increased as much as they had been in the past. So the projections we had made over the three-year period for bursary allocations, we exceeded because tuition fees didn't rise as much. So the figure may still change after final bursaries are awarded later on, but it looks like we have exceeded that particular target by 585 in quarter three. Next slide, please. We had quarterly monitoring visits of placements, and we have four quarterly visits and reports. And by quarter three, we achieved the target of developing a report for the visits and the oversight and the tracking of placement at provincial level. And I'm sure honorable members have seen some of these presentations with slides showing placement rates across provinces. Next slide, please. Then we look at schools where allocated teaching posts are filled. And again, we have a quarterly monitoring report we provide and CM on just school allocation of teaching posts and the level of filling of these posts. Next slide, please. And then we also, as a matter of course, present information on the number of qualified teachers aged 30 and below entering the public service as teachers. We had a preliminary report, and in quarter four, that report has been finalized and is available in the quarter four reporting and annual reporting format. Next slide, please. We have also a report on the provincial teacher development institutes and district teacher development centers, which has been finalized, completed, and will be consolidated or has been consolidated into one national report on monitoring functionality and resourcing of provincial teacher development institutes and district teacher development centers, so that we know how much capacity building and support there is available at district and provincial level in the whole of the system. So we'll be presenting on that in quarter four and in the annual report. Next slide, please. We have a national report on with a special focus on particular subjects, teacher development programs on particular subjects, EFAL, math, physical science, and accounting. And again, we have 9 narrative reports received, which have been consolidated into an annual sector report in quarter four, and we are on track for that. Next slide, please. Post-provisioning norms and standard compliance of 9 provinces, it's something that we report on every year, and this year, without exception, we are reporting on a successful completion in the 9 provinces targeted, and we in quarter three, we're just reporting on the process, and the milestone towards that complying with the post-provisioning processes. So in quarter four, we'll have a much more detailed and comprehensive report presented to the portfolio committee. The NQF level six qualification upgrade are practitioners. We had five provinces which submitted information on their databases. The databases were verified against the Home Affairs database in terms of ID, and also sent back to provinces. A lot of administration around cleaning up the databases and ensuring that what we report as qualifications actually stand in terms of evidence. So we've also had monthly meetings with provinces to ascertain progress, and we're not able to, in that quarter, with the exception of KZN and Limpopo, seven provinces were interacted with in relation to their grade R practitioners' reports. So again, we will be providing a comprehensive sector report on grade R practitioners with NQF level six and above qualifications in quarter four and in our annual report. We have also monitoring reports on the integrated quality management system. We do the monitoring in nine provinces and generate a report. Four provinces were reported, five that were done the previous quarter. Next slide, please. Then we also look at the performance management and development system. And again, we had nine provinces by quarter three. We had finalized the monitoring remotely, albeit remotely, on the PMDS implementation in quarter two and quarter three. So by quarter three, we had achieved our target. Next slide, please. So the details of what we did, all the circulars and the work around education labor relations is on slide 84. Next slide, please. We also had a lot of work around circulars relating to the COVID pandemic and school responses. We had several addenda and on slide 85. Next slide, please. We had work to prepare the system for the implementation and to actually implement the basic education sector employment initiative, and the details on slide 86. Next slide, please. And the information on the national allocation of education assistance and general school assistance is presented on slide 87. Next slide, please. As at the end of December 2020, the data is on slide 88. Slide 89 looks at the detail of who was appointed, how many aged 30 years and under, and then the detail around the processes of monitoring and oversight of implementation of the post-provisioning norms. Next slide, please. So go to program four. So the detail of all those placements are in all these slides. And we'll go to program four. Program four looks at the ACD project and sanitation facilities provided through ACD. We had a target of 24, and in quarter three, we reported on six new schools built. The targets will be fully achieved in the last quarter, as there were 30 projects in advanced construction stages. And so the slow start of construction, as we had reported in quarter two, was due to the COVID-19 lockdown regulations, which didn't allow construction companies to work. We had have a target of 600 sanitation facilities through our CD, and by quarter three, we had done 256 on top of the 22. The majority of projects are in various construction stages, and the indications are that the remaining projects will be completed in the last quarter. Next slide, please. We had targeted 100 schools provided with water facilities, and by quarter three, we had 12 in quarter three. The indications are that target will be fully achieved in the last quarter. There were 152 water projects in advanced construction stages as at quarter three. And we know that we're looking forward to reporting to you in quarter four on the achievement of that target. Similarly, a number of schools served with emergency water supply by the department. We had a target of 3,000, and in quarter three, we had schools In quarter three, schools were served with emergency water supply. There was no deviation, and we're on track then for reporting on that in quarter four. In quarter two, we had 364 from June to November 2020, and that annual annual indicator will be reporting on in subsequent quarter four reports. Schools served with emergency sanitation, we had a target of 1,300. We had in quarter two, 288. We had 4,142 cumulative since the beginning of the project between June and November 2020. And by quarter three, we had schools that were served with emergency sanitation supply. And the indications are that we will be in quarter four consolidating the evidence for that so that we are able to then report on the annual, the achievement against that annual target, 1,300. Next slide, please. We then had work on the preparation of test items for different examinations and assessments for grade 3, 6, and 9. We had an annual target. We'll be reporting on it in quarter 4, but in this particular quarter, quarter 3, we had items, questions that were developed in all applicable languages. They were set and they were in the last stages of being quality assured. So the moderation reports were completed in October 2020, and we are on track for reporting this in quarter four. It's an annual target. Similarly, we produce four national senior certificate reports every year, and we reported in quarter three on what was being done in terms of the dry run of the system, because for this system, and in this year, we had almost double the number of candidates that we would normally have because we didn't have mid-year examination. So we'll be reporting on that in quarter four, and we're on track for doing that. Next slide, please. And some more work around the setting of June and November examinations. Those were set and extremely moderated and approved in the quarter under question. Next slide, please. We also had the work done on the SASAMS reminders to provinces to use the SASAMS data to make sure that the quality assurance processes were being used so that the data on the school administration system for reporting was credible and verifiable. Next slide, please. We have a learner unit record information tracking system, which basically is used to track learners from grade to grade and to track repetition. And this system is basically needs to be regularly updated by provinces, the nine provinces, and in the year under review, we'll be providing a national report on the number of provinces monitored for implementation and how accurate and credible the alerts systems are. So in the quarter under review, there was a lot of administration around ensuring the credibility with provincial departments. Next slide, please. I've reported on the release of the TALIS report by the National Minister in support of national assessments generally. Next slide, please. And in preparation for the systemic evaluation, we had audit of instruments with recommendations for refinement and work that was done on ensuring that the data for the systemic evaluation could be transferred and extracted onto the DBE server. So a lot of work around ICT preparedness for a school readiness system in support of early grade quality improvement. We also had benchmarking, mentoring of district managers in the last push before the NSC, and a data collection exercise to check whether support services of districts were satisfactory to principals. So we had work that was done around that and cleaning and verification of data. Then we regularly sectors who have undergone competency assessments and in the quarter under review, provinces were reminded to ensure that this was the case, and the monitoring report of district directors who have undergone competency assessments prior to their appointment will be presented in quarter four. We monitor provinces schools at least twice to see whether they're visited at least twice a year by district officials, and we know that on average, as of 2017, we have each school on average in the sample visited 2.8 times. So we've actually exceeded this amount of visits. I've just done some analysis on that, but we will be presenting a report on an annual report in quarter four on this particular issue. We have identified 1,653 underperforming primary schools which were visited for purposes of support in quarter three. And in the quarter under review, we have had a total of three district director forums online particularly. And these have been very successful and well received, even during the time of lockdown. And finally, we have teacher development. So we have an indicator that speaks to districts in which teacher development has been conducted as per district improvement plans. We had 65 district improvement plans that have been received in the quarter under review. And we have we did a lot of administration around ensuring that we get those for quarter four. So we had, 66 district improvement plans in that quarter. And then the rest of this is the detail around what we've done in program four and the detail of what we've done in national assessment, district support, school level support, as well as the work around the basic education employment and international relations. Program five looks at educational enrichment programs. We monitor schools for provision of nutritious meals. And in quarter four, we'll do the balance of 11, which we couldn't do in quarter three because we did a lot of work around monitoring, telephonic monitoring. We couldn't get hold of the schools or couldn't synchronize this monitoring visit, and therefore they will be monitored in quarter four. Similarly, the work that we're doing on HIV/AIDS life skills education, we hosted a second virtual interprovincial meeting, well attended, good participation, but we're not able to monitor in the quarter because the curriculum recovery plans do not allow us access to learners and educators, and we'll be intensifying monitoring and reporting on that monitoring during the fourth quarter. So as of the next slide, please. And then the National School Safety Framework, we monitor districts on their implementation of the National School Safety Framework, their participation of school cohesion support and enrichment programs per year, and we had targeted 43 districts to monitor, and by quarter three, we had exceeded that by six, and we'll be reporting on that in quarter four, the balance in quarter four. So some of the districts who couldn't visit in quarter two and quarter three, we'll be reporting on that. Number of stakeholders reached through social cohesion programs. We had a target of 7,500. By the end of quarter three, we had exceeded our two quarters participation. We had two jamborees for future choices were hosted instead of one, and so we exceeded the numbers that we expected. And we at these jamborees, we exposed learners to life skills and various career opportunities. So quite a lot of work around learner engagement around that. So slides 130, 131, and the slides that follow just look at the participation numbers, the oversight, the detail of our partnerships, amongst others, in support of curriculum enrichment and social cohesion. Thank you.
Over to you, CFO. Mr. Kuno.
Thank you, Chair. Struggling to unmute. Sorry. $3 billion, and it's made up of $18.3 billion, which is conditional grant and transfers, and the balance of the budget, which is $4.4 billion, is made up of other items like compensation of employees. If we can go to the next slide, please. This slide shows the expenditure. As at the end of quarter three, we had spent a total of $18.4 billion, and out of that, $15.8 billion was conditional grants, transfers, and other transfers, whereas $2.5 billion was for items like compensation, examiners, and others. If we can go to the next slide. This slide shows the budget and expenditure per program. When we look at the bottom line there, as we mentioned in the last two slides, our total budget was $23.2 billion. We spent $18.4 billion. And we had a balance as at the end of the quarter, a balance of $4.8 billion. The total budget was 39.2%, which is on average more than the three quarters that is expected at the end of quarter three. I think we can move to the next slide. We can pass this one and go to the next one. Then I'll be able to explain the variances after this slide. This slide shows the same budget except for the fact that this is per economic classification. As you can see, the bottom figures are the same. I'll only speak to the expenditure, which is less than the 75% mark, which is compensation of employees, as well as a payment for capital assets, and I'll explain it in the next slide. Next slide. Yeah, for compensation of employees, we during the first half of the year, we were still busy with the restructuring of the department, and as we were busy with that, we had put the moratorium on the filling of posts. But towards the end of the calendar year, meaning as we got into the third quarter, we had lifted the moratorium, and we are now filling posts. So the expenditure on COE was expected to pick up during the last quarter. And payments for capital assets, the main driver for that spending is the ACIDI grant. And during the hard lockdown 5 and 4, I think all of us are aware that there was no construction happening during that time. So that's why the spending during quarter three was slow. Another issue that contributed was that ordinarily we would be replacing laptops or buying laptops, new ones as we go along, but during the COVID-19, especially hard lockdown, there was a general shortage within the country and even overseas, because laptops are all supplied internationally. But as well, the delivery was also not possible, such that payment was also not possible during those hard lockdown periods of lockdown 5 and 4. If we can move to the next slide. Yeah, this slide is similar to the previous one on economic classification. We've just added the broken down the items further. We've already spoken to compensation of employees. I'll speak to examiners and moderators, as well as the SIBG, the city grant, the 33.8%. I've already spoken to. I think I'll only speak to examiners and moderators in the next slide. We can go to the next slide. With regards to the underspending on examiners and moderators, because we were still in the third quarter, we were expecting the expenditure to rise in the fourth quarter, as we were anticipating the marking of the matric exams. So the underspending that is required at the end of the third quarter shouldn't be a worrying factor because of the seasonal nature of the exams. The others, I think I've spoken to, except maybe the third bullet there, where we talk about the earmarked funds. Most of the earmarked funds underspent because most of the underspending or most of the activities that relate to these budgets are for monitoring. So the earmarked funds are divided into two, the main budget and the monitoring side. So the monitoring side has underspent for most of the earmarked funds because traveling, we do monitoring physically, or we used to be monitoring physically, or it's more effective to do monitoring physically by going to provinces. So during lockdown, those visits to provinces had stopped. So that's why the spending also went down. Then if we go back one slide, if you go to 141, yeah, this one, sorry, 140, sorry, it's my fault. Go back one, thank you. There's one item there towards the end, I think the third from the bottom, fourth from the bottom, departmental operations, where there's an overspending of 86 million as at the end of the third quarter. So we had spent 168%. If we can go to the next slide so that I can explain that. During this time, some of the expenditure on COVID had to be spent even if there was no budget. So some of the money had to be moved from or to be spent, even if at that time we were only going to do the shifting in the fourth quarter. So basically, in the third quarter, we spent before the shifting happened or the variants happened, and the variants only happened in the fourth quarter, meaning that as we get to the end of the year or the fourth quarter, the spending had evened out. Can we go to the next slide? Yeah, this is a further breakdown, but it's more conditional grants. And I've already spoken to, or the same explanation I gave for the monitoring applies to the underspending on the fourth item, math, science and technology, NSNP, as well as with learners, with regards to learners with profound intellectual disabilities, because monitoring had stopped during the lockdown. That's why the spending is less than the ideal. Then the very last item on that slide, it's learners as well, but it's basically the actual transfer of funds to provinces. So if we go to the next slide, I'll explain this one, this underspending. Yeah, that second bullet explains that underspending because we withheld funds, one tranche transfer to Limpopo province due to their low underspending, but we had engaged with them to try and unlock the challenge. And I think going into the fourth quarter, with hindsight, now that we know what has happened, there has been spending and there has been compliance with the Division of Revenue Act subsequent to the third quarter. If we can go to the next slide, I think we get into the end. Yeah, okay. These ones are entities. Most of the spending is up to date because these are transfers to entities. It's not money that we spend within the department. So most of them are over the 75%. Some of them, for example, like Funza Lushaka, would be 100% because we transfer early in the year. These are buzzers that we transfer in full early in the year so that the investors can be able to the students that we are funding. And the last item, the SACMEC, not the last part, the last part one. The last item, SACMEC, which is the Southern and Eastern African Consortium for Monitoring Educational Quality. The underspending is due to the fact that these funds are budgeted for depending on the rand dollar exchange. So the trend has been that we spend about 3.2 million a year. So we had budgeted 3.6 million. But due to the favorable rand dollar exchange at the time that we paid, that's why we paid only 1.9 million and we saved 1.7 million. So the 51.8% is the full amount that we paid for the year. NECT has overspent by 70 million. There was an application to Treasury for their budget to increase, and then that has subsequently been granted. So as at the end of the third quarter, that the increase had not been passed or agreed yet. So only during the fourth quarter were we able to level the spending with as well as vis-a-vis the budget. Can we go to the next slide? Yeah, I've explained all this. Next slide, I think. We're recommending to the committee that they should note the third quarter report for both finance and non-financial information. Thank you. Thank you, Acting DG, and thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. That concludes the presentation on the third quarterly report from the DBE. Back to you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Dr. Wheatley, and the presenters of the who have presented. Members, that is the quarter three report of DBE. Can I note hands of members that would want to interrogate the report? Or we are fine, are we spiami? Hello. Is the end of Honorable Notada? You can proceed, Mtekaz.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, my audible.
Yes.